KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:01, it's cloudy and 45 degrees in Atlantic. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. The Cass County Board of Supervisors on Wednesday set December 12th and 19th as the dates for the public hearings on an amendment to the Division of Taxes Ordinance pertaining to the Amazing Energy Urban Renewal Area and TIF District. The amendment calls for the removal of certain parcels of land from the URA and TIF District, which Auditor Dale Sunderman says would be advantageous to the county since they've already decreased in value.
It does essentially two things. When the district was set up on the 2009 values, that forms a base from which you basically have the ability to TIF. Okay, if you have property that's basically going down in value rather than up in value, that's going to take away from the increment. There will be no increment if the reduction in value goes more than what the increase is. In this case, we're approximately at that.
In other business, the board was asked by a member of the public about current efforts at reaching an agreement with the county employees and the Public Professional and Maintenance Employees Union, or PPME, which represents the county's secondary roads department. In October, the board received the union's initial bargaining proposal, which was rejected. The following week, the county presented its initial proposal, and then the two sides went into a closed-door session to try and hash things out. Efforts to reach an agreement are currently in mediation. The Board of Supervisors were asked if it goes into arbitration, how much power does the board hold to try and rein in the union's request for a 7% rate increase the first year of the contract, the 4-year percent increase across the board for the second year, and a 3% increase for the third year, all effective in July of 2013, for a total increase of 14% over a 3-year period. The supervisors Gaylord Schelling and Mark Wiedemeyer are in on the negotiations representing the county, and Schelling said the next meeting they have is on the 17th of December. The next step, he said, would be binding arbitration if they can't reach an agreement during mediation. Wiedemeyer said if the county is forced by the arbitrator to meet the demands of the union and not reach a compromise, there would likely be some job reductions.
If the negotiators come in and say we got to pay that much, then our only power would be to
reduce the number of employees.
Yeah. Our power would be to fund so much to the department and... Yeah. That's the only thing we've got.
It'll become a budget time.
Yeah.
Schelling said the arbitrator will likely take into consideration what the level of pay is in other counties the size of Cass and what both sides are offering for those wages when making a determination as to what the percentages should be. News time is 8:04.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
Elsewhere in the news, the top middle school mock trial participants in the state will gather at the Iowa Events Center today, tomorrow, and Saturday to compete in the 29th annual Iowa Middle School Mock Trial State Tournament. The mock trial program is presented by the Iowa State Bar Association's Center for Law and Civic Education with the support of the ISBA Young Lawyers Division and Iowa State Bar Foundation. This year, more than 1,700 middle school students from throughout Iowa will participate in the competition, which is the largest middle school mock trial program in the nation. Among them are students from the Carroll, Harlan, and Kemper Catholic School Districts. And in a mock trial, students play the roles of attorneys and witnesses as they prepare and present both sides of a hypothetical legal problem. Practicing attorneys serve as the judges who decide the case on the legal merits and who also assess student performances as attorneys and as witnesses. Participants are given a hands-on opportunity to examine the legal process and current legal issues. Mock trials also help students to develop important critical thinking skills and aid in the development of fundamental research, preparation, and presentation skills. This year's middle school problem deals with the issues of negligence and defamation. The 34 teams of students advanced to the state competition based on their performances at regional tournaments throughout the state earlier this month. Students will compete in 3 rounds of competition today and on Friday, with the top 4 teams advancing to the semifinal round Saturday morning at the Iowa Judicial Branch Building. The championship round will feature the semifinal winners presenting the final case starting at 1:30 p.m. on Saturday in the Supreme Court chambers of the Iowa Judicial Branch. and a special awards program honoring all 34 teams and naming the top 10 teams and recognizing the individual outstanding attorneys, so to speak, and outstanding witnesses will be held at 5 p.m. Friday at Veterans Memorial Convention Center in downtown Des Moines. The search for two missing girls from Evansdale took a devastating turn on Wednesday. Blackhawk County Sheriff's Captain Rick Eben briefed the media on developments in the case Wednesday afternoon.
Today at approximately 12:45 p.m., law enforcement was notified by hunters that they had discovered two deceased bodies in a wooded area. The Cook and Collins family had been notified of this discovery. The bodies are being transported to the state medical examiner's office in Ankeny for positive identification.
Authorities have been treating the disappearance of Elizabeth Collins and Lyric Cook Morrissey as an abduction case. Although he would not say if the bodies are that of the young children, Abbott's comments suggested that the search for the girls may be over.
It's definitely not the outcome that we wanted, obviously. Numerous officers from many, many jurisdictions have worked on this case around the clock since the 13th of July.
Abbott declined to say exactly where those bodies were found.
I'm not going to release that information at the request of the crime scene team. We are processing that at this time. I don't need that area to be compromised. Preservation of that scene is paramount.
And dozens of people gathered for a candlelight vigil for the two Iowa cousins who disappeared in July, just hours after investigators had announced the hunters found two bodies in a wooded area. The vigil was held last night at a lake in Evansdale where investigators had found the bicycles belonging to 9-year-old Elizabeth Collins and 11-year-old Lyric Cook. Some of the roughly 70 people attending the prayer vigil were holding out hope that the bodies weren't those of the cousins. Others seemed to resign over the tragic news. Barb Collins of nearby Waterloo said the community is in grieving. Black Hawk County Sheriff's Captain Rick Eben said the girls' families were told about the two bodies and they're now asking for privacy. The bodies will be identified, as mentioned earlier, by the state medical examiner's office. A 14-year-old Osage boy charged with killing his mother will be tried in a different county. His attorneys requested the change of venue, citing adverse pretrial publicity in northern Iowa's Mitchell County. Prosecutors didn't oppose the motion, and a judge granted it on Tuesday. A new location for the trial hasn't been determined yet. The trial is scheduled to begin on April 30th. The boy has pleaded not guilty to first-degree murder and first-degree assault with the intent to commit sexual abuse. Authorities say the boy was 13 when he allegedly shot his mother to death on March the 24th. The Associated Press doesn't name individuals accused of crimes or their families, for that matter. Iowa Governor Terry Branstad has ordered all flags in the state to be flown at half staff tomorrow from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. December 7th in honor of Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. Flags will be at half staff at the state Capitol building and flags displays on the Capitol complex and upon all public buildings, grounds, and facilities throughout the state. Individuals, businesses, schools, municipalities, counties, and other government subdivisions are encouraged to fly the flag at half-staff Friday for the same length of time as a sign of respect. Again, that's from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. tomorrow. And the Iowa Board of Regents has voted not to raise tuition charges for in-state undergraduate students for the next school year, at least for now. The board gave final approval to its tuition freeze plan during a telephone meeting on Wednesday with no discussion held. The freeze is the first of its kind in Iowa in memory and is sure to be popular with students and parents alike. But the plan is contingent on the legislature approving a funding increase to operate the state's three public universities next year, which is by no means a sure thing. Governor Terry Branstad and legislative leaders say it's too soon to know how the proposal will fare. Board members have warned they may raise tuition in the spring if the legislature does not come through. And the Iowa Board of Regents President Craig Lang says the University of Iowa is not doing enough to protect students and employees from sexual misconduct in light of the resignation of a former athletics department counselor. Lang said Wednesday during a board meeting that the Regents overhauled campus policies after a high-profile assault case involving Iowa football players in 2007. He said one change required employees to participate in sexual misconduct training, and Iowa's handling of the Peter Gray case shows the school, quote, is not doing a good enough job in this area. Lang says he expects the university will address the obvious breakdowns the case exposed. Gray resigned last month after he was accused of improperly touching athletes for years, conduct that allegedly dated back to the 1990s. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, the number of people seeking U.S. unemployment aid is down sharply as a temporary spike caused by Superstorm Sandy has faded. Weekly applications have fallen back to a level consistent with modest hiring. The Labor Department says applications dropped 25,000 last week. to a seasonally adjusted 370,000. President Obama is trying to keep the pressure on Republicans today as a year-end deadline for avoiding a so-called fiscal cliff of tax increases and spending cuts draws near. He'll showcase a Northern Virginia family to highlight his call for extending current tax rates to all but the top 2% of earners. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton is aiming criticism at Russia today for its crackdown on democracy and human rights groups. It's part of a broader warning about a new effort by oppressive governments to re-Sovietize much of the Eastern Europe and Central Asia. The comments came hours ahead of critical talks on Syria with Russia's foreign minister. A NATO decision to deploy Patriot missiles along Turkey's border with Syria is drawing anger from Damascus today. Syria calls the decision provocative. Syria's deputy foreign minister denounced the move and Western warnings against Syrian use of chemical weapons as a part of a conspiracy that he says is possibly laying out the foundations for military intervention in Syria. And finally in the news, both supporters and opponents of Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi are under a deadline to halt protests near the presidential palace and clear the area. The Egyptian army deployed tanks to emphasize the deadline after overnight violence left 5 people dead and more than 600 injured. News time is 8:12.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
And in the funeral announcements, Margaret Moore, age 90, of Guthrie Center, died Sunday. Funeral services for Margaret Moore will be this morning at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center is in charge of the arrangements. Daniel Weiss, age 50, of Walnut, died Saturday. Memorial services for Daniel Weiss will be on Friday, tomorrow at 10:30 at the Walnut American Legion Hall in Walnut. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has the arrangements. Cleo Larby, age 87, formerly of Manila, died November 26th. Funeral services for Cleo Larby will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the United Church of Christ in Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has arrangements. Bernadine Bauer, age 86, of rural Bridgewater, died Wednesday at her daughter's home. Funeral services for Bernadine Bauer are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. And Charlotte Lewis, age 96, of Greenfield, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Charlotte Lewis are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Henson reporting.